And just to review, maybe you weren't able to be here or whatever, but our first special day was April 22nd, which is better known as Earth Day, not Administrative Professionals Day, which I'm married to one, so even though that's on the calendar, that's not what it was about. And we looked at God's recycling program and how in Exodus chapter 3, God recycled or repurposed Moses at the burning bush and how he can repurpose you and me as well. And last week, our second special day was June 6th, which is remembered as D-Day, which is when the Allied forces in World War II launched the invasion that liberated Europe. And we saw that in our lives, that can mean God delivers us. We live in debt. God is my delight, or he should be. And it's time for us to dive into the Lord's work, even when we encounter doubts, discouragement, a lack of diligence, or detours and distractions. Which brings us to today, our final special day. Now, it's interesting to hear them talk about journeys, because that's going to be part of this special day. Every one of us here this morning is on a journey. It doesn't matter if you're standing or sitting, if you're moving or motionless, if you're awake or asleep. The journey you're on is a spiritual journey, and God wants to change your life through that. Now, when I think about any kind of a journey, one of the most famous ones that comes to my mind took place in 1969, and it culminated on July 20th of that year when Apollo 11 astronaut Neil Armstrong became the first human to set foot on the moon. Remember what he said when he did that? One small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind. And it was great to be reminded of that earlier this year when Artemis II carried four astronauts around the moon in April. And I especially enjoyed the expressions of his faith by the pilot, Victor Glover. And as I watched that coverage, it took me back to 1969 and that Neil Armstrong quote. So I want to take that concept this morning of small steps and giant leaps and draw some parallels between that historic mission and our spiritual journey. So if you want to take your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 8. We're kind of going to be looking at a lot of different verses this morning, but we will start there, okay? And before we do that, I just want to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the journey that we're on. And it looks different for each one of us, Lord. But we thank you that we take it hand in hand with you. And we can support one another in that journey. So teach us from your word today. Show us how what happened clear back in 1969 can have some interesting observations for us today. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Well, the first thing we need to understand when we look at this Apollo 11 mission and small steps and giant leaps, just a little bit of a background here, is that the moon did not happen by accident. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." I also like a couple of other verses here. "The day is yours, and yours also the night. You established the sun and the moon." Now, some people say the universe was created by the Big Bang theory, but the question they don't answer is, who or what caused the Big Bang, right? Psalm 8 this morning indicates some of those things, helps us put them in perspective. In verse 1, it says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens." And verse 3 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. We bring glory to God by living our faith in small steps and giant leaps. And God didn't create us just to be spectators. It says there in Romans 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When I contemplate all of this, and we looked at that a little bit in Sunday school this morning, it makes me understand, and this is in your notes here, that there is no man in the moon, but there is a God in the universe. And we can't take small steps or giant leaps without giving God his due. We need to praise him and thank him for who he is. So the takeaway from that is, let's praise God for his awesome creation, right? We kind of take it for granted. I saw some of the new shrubbery planted out here this morning. And isn't it neat to see things start to grow like that? Or if you're a farmer like some of our guys are, just to see the crops starting to take off when you get those planted. And we can praise God for all of those things and understand that when they took this journey so many years ago and then again this year, they were headed for something that didn't happen by accident. It was created by an almighty God. Next thing I want to look at here is that the lunar landing was an act of faith and not science. Now, if you're into science, don't jump up, okay? All right? I'm not saying that science played no part in the Apollo 11 mission, but Neil Armstrong and the other two astronauts, Buzz Aldrin and Deke Slayton, they had to have faith in that science, right? It took faith to believe that the lunar module would land safely and then take off again and be able to link up with the command module. We've talked about Hebrews 11 here several times, and you can see now faith is the substance of things that is hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in your notes, there's a lot of blanks. I apologize for that. But there's some examples in Hebrews 11 of those people who have stepped out in faith. Remember Abel? And he offered a better sacrifice than Cain by faith. What did Noah do by faith? Built an ark, right? What was that, a 120-year honeydew project? Okay. Abraham, what did he do? Yeah, he relocated, and he also went to sacrifice his son Isaac. What about Sarah? Remember that from Hebrews 11? She received strength to conceive. And then my favorite one is Joshua, right? Joshua had to go in and conquer Jericho, right? Remember what they had to do that by faith? For 7 days, they marched around the city one time each day, and on the seventh day, gave a great shout and the walls came down. I often wonder what that looked like. You know, day one, hey, this is great. We're going to get this city. We're going to take it over. What's day three look like? I don't know. I'm not too sure on this. This is a little bit dicey. And then you get to day seven. Really? You want us to do what? And isn't that what our faith journey looks like sometime? The longer we go on, the more doubts we can tend to have. How would we react if God told us to do something like that? But it's important to understand these people in Hebrews 11 and all through the Bible, because in our faith, the giant leaps are usually a result of the small steps. Okay? The giants of the faith that we hear so much about became giants by taking one step at a time. And that's what we need to do in our faith. Just keep on marching. Hebrews 11:6 says this. Let me get this note out here. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So the question I need to ask myself is, where do I need to grow in my faith? Where do I need to step out in my faith? Sometimes that's scary. We're not sure that God's with us on that journey, right? I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. "He who counts the stars and calls them by their names is in no danger of forgetting his own children." God is with us on this faith journey. So the moon didn't happen by accident. God was involved. The lunar landing was an act of faith and not science. And the next thing is, gravity has to be accounted for. Anybody here a science, love science, or a science major in school? Mike? You were. Okay. Define gravity, Mike. I didn't think he could do it. No. Just teasing. Gravity can mean either the force of attraction or a unit of acceleration equal to the acceleration of gravity, and the symbol that they measure that in is G. They had to account for the moon's gravity. The astronauts had to account for the gravity G forces on liftoff and again on re-entry. Somebody once said this, and I believe it's true, gravity is undefeated. Okay? By the way, I got a dad joke, probably more for Phil, but Phil, you know you don't need a parachute to skydive, right? You only need a parachute if you want to skydive twice. Okay? But gravity has to be accounted for. G-forces, all right? Turn with me to John 15. And I want to share what I believe the G-forces that God uses on our faith journey look like. So John 15, we're going to read verses 4 through 11. And I'm reading from the New King James, that 20% off Bible I mentioned in Sunday school today. But John 15, 4 through 11, this is Jesus talking. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." The love of Jesus is the force that attracts people or draws us to him. That's the G-force. To abide in Jesus, we need to stay connected to him, and we need to love him back. God wants us connected to Jesus at all times. Without him, we will drift through life. Many of you remember what your life was like without Jesus Christ in it. Did it seem meaningful? Did it have purpose? Was it great? Bearing fruit and joy-filled living require small steps and giant leaps of faith. And the question I have to ask is, how strong is that G-force in my life? Am I loving God like I need to love God? Am I abiding in Him? Gravity has to be accounted for. This next slide is going to be familiar to you. This is one of the most famous footprints that's ever been. And some of you have that in your notes if you got that. But what we want to talk about here as well is everyone leaves footprints. This footprint that we just looked at changed the landscape of the moon forever. And as I look at my relationship with God, Jesus came to leave God's footprint on my life and yours, and He wants us to do the same with others. Everybody leaves footprints. Let me read a few verses. These are a little bit random, but I think you'll get the concept. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 is up there. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Romans 6, 4 says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So a lot of verses there talking about the footprints that we leave and how we're to leave them. It's a longer passage that I want you to turn to here this morning. That's Matthew 25. And I'm going to read all of it here. It's Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And this will be familiar to you. So Matthew 25 will start in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. One note here, Kurt will explain that part of it in his series on Revelation, right? Yeah, sure. I don't have to. I just get to leave the mess, and He gets to come in and clean it up. Okay. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. This is the part I want you to catch. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it for me. So everyone leaves footprints, right? To leave a Christ-like footprint, you can't walk over people, you have to walk with them. And we need to take that away. In 1962, Joanne Shetler and Ann Fetzer made a difficult journey by bus and foot into the rugged mountains of the Philippines to share the gospel with people who'd never heard of Jesus. For 5 years, they translated scripture into the people's language, but the Balangao villagers weren't receptive. They did, however, help build a primitive landing strip so new supplies could be flown in. One day, a plane dubbed Magic from Another World by the people arrived. The pilot then flew a deathly ill pregnant village woman to a faraway clinic. When the plane later returned with the recovered woman and her healthy newborn, the people began asking about this God that they'd been told about. And soon the village had a church full of believers in Christ. All of us who share the story of Jesus have times of discouragement when our listeners don't seem to want to hear. The first 5 years of Joanne and Anne's work was surely discouraging, but they kept sowing, and eventually they reaped a harvest. So we can't walk over people, we have to walk with them. Even though you and I aren't famous, we leave footprints wherever we go. And I've used this concept in business as a trainer and supervisor, manager, whatever the position was. Every interaction you have is leaving a footprint with somebody. Whether it's God or your home or at work or at school, whether it's a coworker, a fellow student, a client or a customer, we want to take that concept and make it a part of our lives. Real quick, I like to do this kind of thing. I like visuals. I like visual reminders. So we've made a bunch of these laminated little cards. They're in a basket out there where the bulletins usually are, right, Lynn? Okay. What kind of footprint will I leave? So you're free to grab one before you leave today. Just a reminder, put it on the dashboard of your car or put it on a mirror in the bathroom, wherever it works for you, put it in your Bible. If we run out, that will be the greatest thing ever. We'll leave them out there. If we run out and you don't get one, and just talk to me or Lynn. We'll get some more run up. But they're even multicolored, folks. Because we had a bunch of multicolored paper, so. But what kind of footprint will I leave? And that's what I used to do with people on my team at work. You know, you're answering the phone. What kind of a footprint am I going to leave before I even get started? Okay? Now, the Bible does say, as much as is possible, live in peace with all men. So sometimes it's not all up to us. But it's a good jumping off point. Okay. So everyone leaves footprints. And the final thing I want to touch on here this morning is that we reached the moon because distance was overcome by desire. Quick question, who knows how far it is from the earth to the moon today? Right? To the mile. Nobody? I don't either. I have to look it up. Distance from the earth to the moon, 238,857 miles. Do you know how they measure that? I thought this was interesting. From this, they have a way to measure it from the center of the earth to the center of the moon. Okay? So when I look at my life and my journey, I want to look at, hey, what's my distance from me to God today? I'll tell you, no matter how far you feel from God at any point in time, the distance from you to God is always the same. It's the distance of a man, and that man's Jesus Christ. And you know how you measure that? You measure that from our heart to his heart. Let me read a few verses here today that talk about that, how we can overcome distance by desire. And the first one of those, their references are up there. The first one of those is we love the Lord. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." We seek the Lord, right? Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 6. Ho, I love that. Ho, wake up. Everyone who thirsts comes to the waters. And then verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Dwell with the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, which is basically saying, hey, do what you do for the Lord. Okay? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. If we want to reach our destination in our faith journey, desire has got to overcome distance. Is my distance to God increasing or decreasing? What's it looking like today? Okay, so those are just a few observations of this day that as I started rolling these around in my head, you know, from that lunar journey, hey, how does that work in my walk with the Lord? And we take small steps every day. And then when we look back someday, we're going to look back and say, wow, that was kind of a giant leap. And we can take small steps this morning, and they can become giant leaps of faith. I hope that's your desire today. So let's talk to God together about that. But before we do, I have one little quote to leave with you. Because as you step out in faith, things will happen. And remember this quote from Warren Wiersbe. If you're going to live by faith, then expect your faith to be tested. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are today. We thank you for the small steps of faith that you make, and you make them with us. And someday we look back and say, wow, that was a giant leap. Most of all, Lord, I think as a takeaway from this, as I journey in faith, what kind of a footprint am I leaving? Lord, we just trust that you want to work in each life here. You want to call us close to you. You want our desire for you to be number one in our lives. And we just look forward to what you're going to do today and in the days ahead. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.